fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with a special guest this week, good friend, mentor, Ralph Martin, who's the founder of Renewal Ministries. He's a professor, he's a writer. Many of you know him, many of you have heard him on EWTN for years and radio programs all over the place and have read many of his books. And we've been talking this week about the reality of sin, the reality of Christ's victory over sin, the call to take sin seriously, to understand what holiness is and the holiness that God has given to each and every one of us, and to receive the power to be able to live that new way of life. And I thought, Ralph, today, maybe the place to start for us would be to say, well, wait a minute. I mean, this stuff sounds kind of so negative and overwhelming, and God is mercy. I mean, the heart of God is mercy, and a lot of people just assume or presume or whatever that everybody's going to be saved. It seems to be like the default mode today and how people are thinking about the question of the afterlife.
Yeah, and one interesting way of going after this, Peter, is to talk about probably the most popular manifestation of God's mercy today, which is the divine mercy revelations. You know, people
Sister
know
Sister Faustina.
Yeah, Sister Faustina. God revealed to us how great his mercy is, and it's one of the most popular devotions. It's almost every church now has an image of divine mercy. I love it. I say the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's such a great cry out for the salvation of souls. But people don't oftentimes know what the whole message is. Jesus said, tell everybody about how great my mercy is so that the greatest of sinners won't hold back from availing themselves of my mercy and coming to me for forgiveness. Jesus also told St. Faustina that he's really concerned because so many souls are perishing despite his mercy. And he said, you've got to warn people while there's still time because I'm sending you to prepare the world for my second coming and the final judgment. And if people don't avail themselves of thy mercy, they're going to be lost. And then he also sent an angel to take her on a tour of hell. I think this is section 747 in her diary. And she wrote, the Lord commanded me to write this down so that nobody would be able to say that hell doesn't exist or that there's nobody there. And then she describes what she saw. And it's really terrible. You know, it's really terrible. She says it's vast and extensive. And she says many of the souls there were souls who didn't believe that there is a hell. So God's mercy is coming to us to rescue us from something we need to be rescued from, and that's what people forget about when they become presumptuous about divine mercy. There needs to be a response to mercy. Yeah. What kind of response? We need to acknowledge that we have sins that need to be forgiven, and we need to acknowledge that we have a Redeemer in whom we need to put our trust. We need to believe and we need to repent. And so people just kind of presume that mercy is automatic, you know. Hey, I'm not a serial killer. I'm not as bad as Hitler. What do I have to worry about? Well, hey, we have lots of things to worry about if there's unrepentant sin in our life and if we're a lukewarm response to Jesus, really. And so we really need to know that mercy requires a response. The response is faith. The response is repentance. The response is conversion. If we're not baptized, we need to get baptized. We need to eat and drink the body of our Lord for the healing of our sinful souls. And there needs to be a response to mercy.
Well said, Ralph. One of the great mercy passages that you know well in the Bible is Ephesians chapter 2. You know, where Paul says, you know, God who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he's loved us in Christ, he's given us by faith. We're, you know, by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not our doing, but it's God's doing. But it's interesting that the beginning of that passage starts with Paul's diagnosis of the human condition. I mean, it's like a biblical anthropology of the human person, you'd say. And Paul begins at verse 1, and you he made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. So we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And so here's where mercy comes in. So we're by nature children of wrath. Now, people say, gee, don't talk that way. People are going to feel bad about themselves, or they're going to have a negative attitude. But in reality, this is the understanding that God has revealed about the creature that he created in his fallen condition, that we stand in a position of hostility to God. We're not destined for all the life, all the great fulfillment that we presume upon unless we repent. And if we repent, the mercy of the kingdom of God comes flooding through the heart of Jesus Christ for our salvation. It's a free gift, right?
Yes. We're the only way any human being can be saved is by grace, by the gratuitous, merciful gift of God, which we can't earn or deserve or accomplish by ourselves through faith. And that's what the Catholic Church believes. And even in Vatican II, where it talks about the possibility of people being saved without ever hearing the gospel, there's a footnote there that basically says they somehow need to say yes to the grace of God that comes to them in a mysterious way, and they somehow need to have a supernatural faith, which is a gift of God. They need to say yes in some deep part of their being to a light that God is giving them to be saved. But then, of course, it goes on to say in Lumen Gentium 16, very often this isn't the case. Very often human beings exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature rather than the creator, or given to despair. And therefore, it's urgent that we preach the gospel. So even though it's possible under certain circumstances for people to theoretically be saved without hearing the gospel, it's very difficult. I mean, just look at our own life and how easy it is to say no to the light. Just look at our own life and how easy it is to say yes to disordered desires. And how much more easy is it to say no to God when we don't have the help of the gospel, when we don't have the help of the sacraments, when we don't have the help of sacred scriptures, we don't have the clear word of God that tells us what we must do in order to be saved. And so it's just so important that we not presume that everybody's doing okay. We certainly can't presume that anybody's going to hell either. We don't know that. But it sure looks like there's a lot of people who have believed a lot of lies, who are living lifestyles that Jesus says will exclude them from the kingdom of God unless they believe and repent. And so that's why evangelization is so important. That's why it's so important that we're willing to speak the truth in love to people, not like a bull in the china shop, not proud and you know, boastful ourselves, but
or
boasting
condemning in the way you do it, or
not
something,
condemning, but out of love. Like Paul says, it's with tears in my eyes that I've told you the whole counsel of God. It's with tears in my eyes that I tell you that some are making a god out of their belly and are destined for destruction. So it's out of that passage you read in the first day this week, Peter, from St. Francis, where he wept over people who he saw who was on the Broadway in destruction. He wept over them. Same with St. Dominic. When people saw St. Dominic praying at night, they saw him weeping because so many souls are being lost. This is the heart of saints, but it's the heart, first of all, of Jesus, who wept over Jerusalem weeping because so many people were missing the mercy that was being offered.
Yeah, and I sometimes just, it moves me deep inside to hearing the words of Francis and thinking, so many people love St. Francis and in some ways want to be like him, and they're like him and moved by how gentle he was with God's creation and how caring he was toward the poor. And people love that, and they should, because it's beautiful. It's a manifestation of God's heart and God's love. But Bonaventure gave us a window into what really made him tick at the bottom, what his whole life and ministry, his living in poverty, his preaching, everything was ordered to this. I'll just read it again because it's so short.
Peter, tell people about your booklet on Francis.
Yeah, I just wrote a book, little booklet called St. Francis Used Words, because a lot of people, the common understanding of a line that Francis supposedly had said is evangelize and if necessary, use words. He never said that, and the booklet explains why I say that. It gives the evidence of what he did and didn't say. But the point is, so troubling to kind of lean on that line because it's so opposite of how he actually lived.
Yeah.
I mean, the line does give you a sense that you're supposed to be a witness
and
walk the walk and let your life be a message. But at the heart of it, it misses the point because Francis preached all the time and he did it in every way he could think of.
Right.
And the reason he did it was, as Bonaventure, who was so close, said this, a sharp sword all on fire. Francis was a sharp sword all on fire, and zeal for the salvation of others pierced the depths of Francis's heart in burning love. And there was a burning love for the salvation of other people. And he would weep, he went on to say, when he saw a soul that was redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ being stained with sin, he would be overcome with sorrow and weep so compassionately, he would travail like a mother in Christ. And so I found this personally challenging to say, how much have I wept over my own sin?
Mm-hmm.
How much have I wept over the sin of the world? And this is what a saint's like. So if we want to follow Francis, this is what it's all about.
Right.
And this is where the Lord wants to take us.
Right.
This is the heart of Jesus being revealed.
And people could get your booklet by going to renewalministries.net and looking in the store and get that booklet.
We'd love to send it out to you. Ralph, we have just about 3.5 minutes left in the program. I want to go back to Sister Faustina and the fact that Jesus revealed, brought her to hell, to show her hell. Now, you know, some people say, okay, theoretically, the theoretical understanding that hell exists is palatable. But the actual practical reality that someone's in hell is just incomprehensible. And what it does is it diminishes Jesus Christ's sacrifice and the power of God's love to transform everyone. God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So if that's God's desire and Christ's power is so great, everyone eventually is going to be saved from that horrible end that the Bible talks about as hell.
It's a big lie. It's not what the Word of God tells us. It's not what Jesus tells us. And it's also really narrowing the whole dimensions of the drama that we're in. God loves us so much that he wants to exalt us to a place of participating in the divine nature. It's hardly possible even comprehending what that is. But in order for us to participate in Trinitarian life, in order for us to really have eternal life, there has to be freedom. There has to be the free yes. Jesus is looking for friendship. He's looking for love. And we know in a human marriage, if there's any compulsion in marriage, it's not a valid marriage. So he's running the risk of freedom. He's running the risk of the no, because the yes is so precious and so valuable. And yes, we can't completely understand it. It doesn't compute to our ways of computing things humanly. But remember what the Lord said to Ezekiel when he said that, you know, somebody turns away from the Lord at the very last minute, they're going to be lost, even though they led a life of virtue. Somebody turns away from their sin at the very last minute, they're going to be saved. And people say, you say, the ways of the Lord are not fair. No, no. The fact is that your ways are not fair. As far as the skies above the earth, or my thoughts above your thoughts. So it comes down to trusting who's speaking to us and trusting that it is love and it is wisdom and it is appropriate and it is right and just, and that nobody will be lost without a chance of salvation. Nobody will be lost unless they choose to be lost. And in the mystery of God, that human freedom is really necessary in order for the glory of heaven to exist.
This is a large question, and I wonder if I try to squeeze it in here just with a minute left. People wouldn't choose hell if they knew what they were choosing.
No, that's absolutely untrue. They know what they're choosing. They're choosing not God, and they're choosing to stay in their sins, they're choosing to stay in their autonomy, and they're choosing to stay in lies. And one of the things that Jesus says to the Pharisees is that your father is the devil. People have chosen the devil as their father without even realizing that they've done that. And that's where they've given their loyalty, as a matter of fact, because of their decisions. That's where they belong. That's where they've chosen.
Yeah. Well, that's a very important point. I wonder if we could begin tomorrow's program with that.
Sure.
And kind of expand on what that means and what that looks like in our lives and people's lives, number one. And then number two, let's talk tomorrow, too, about how can I be saved? You know, what is salvation?
Yeah.
And how can we appropriate this and take our listeners take it into our hearts more fully and share it with other people and help other people be able to take it into their hearts and respond
to
the moment? Because sometimes as Catholics, we feel like, I don't say anything because I wouldn't know what to say.
Right.
And I haven't said much, Ralph, this week about your book, The Urgency of the New Evangelization, Answering the Call. And I want to encourage friends to go to renewalministries.net. This book is there. And everything we've been talking about this week is contained concisely in this book. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.